Hello, I'm Steve Wiggins, and this is podcast number 10 of the Sex and Violence in the Ancient World blog. Today's discussion is going to be on the origins of religion. Hominids have been scampering around this planet for about 13 million years. The earliest representations of the genus Homo show up somewhere around 2 million years ago, with Homo sapiens finally appearing just around about 200,000 before present. That's a long time to have people living on this planet, people of various descriptions. We're not sure when in this long development of human beings as we recognize them today that religion first makes its appearance. I've suggested in earlier posts on this blog and in other places among my research that some religious behavior may actually go back to the animal kingdom. And this, of course, is something that we can't test until we learn how to communicate effectively with animals. But it does seem that many of the behaviors that we associate with religion may have their origins in survival instincts or at least coping mechanisms among the animal kingdom, as well as decidedly human aspects. We're really on much safer ground when we start talking about human beings, but the ground isn't quite as stable as it might seem at first, because our knowledge of early human prehistory is still piecemeal and still growing. We have to keep in mind that our reconstruction of earliest religious behavior is not based on any written documents, because writing was invented much, much later by the Sumerians, and has to be reconstructed from somewhat poorly attested artifactual remains. Nevertheless, we shouldn't despair about our ability to reconstruct some of the early stages of religion, because the evidence seems to point so strongly in that direction. As to the ultimate origin of religion itself, no one knows where it comes from. Many suggestions have been out there, and many of these ideas have been discussed and debated in academic circles and eventually dismissed, or some of them have found followings and have continued to live on in the meme pool of human ideas. One of the first books that I read that got me started in this direction was Julian Jayne's The Origins of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind, kind of a classic of the 1970s that tries to address the issue of where consciousness comes from or where the idea of the divine originates. Jayne's, of course, famously postulated that because the human brain is divided into two hemispheres that are not always in perfect communication with each other, that perhaps this transition from, if you will, a dual-mindedness that comes in the form of a brain that has two separate functions, two separate halves that have separate functions, coming together into a unified kind of thought mechanism, gave birth to consciousness itself, but also gave birth to the idea that there were voices from the other side in your head, and this kind of idea of gods in the head eventually led to religion. A more recent idea is that of Stuart Guthrie, who suggests in his book Faces in the Clouds that people have a biological need to be aware of other human beings where they occur. It's better to see a human being that's not there than to miss a human being that really is there, kind of a false positive sense of perception of the world around us. This is, as Guthrie suggests, an evolutionary advantage, because those who know about other people whose intentions are unknown have a better chance of surviving than those who simply miss the other people in their environment who may be there to take advantage of them or to even pose a threat or danger to them. If we go back even further in the history of ideas, we can see E.B. Tyler, the anthropologist, suggesting that religion begins with animism, the idea that artifacts of the natural world have spirits in them. So every animal, every tree, every rock, everything that a human being would have experienced was thought and somehow to have a spirit. And when those spirits become more powerful into powerful spirits, they eventually evolve into the concept of gods. Well, this debate will never be satisfactorily resolved, simply because we do not have the written records that we need to go back and see exactly who was thinking what at what time and determine where religion itself begins. But there are certain clues in the archaeological and anthropological record of human beings that give us an idea that along about 35,000 before present, a number of behaviors start to appear that suggest that religious sensibilities are already being attested in human behavior. 35,000 years before present puts us firmly in the Upper Paleolithic period, or the Early Stone Age, late in the Early Stone Age, but quite early in human development overall. So we see that this kind of behavior that I will discuss in just a few moments is very much what is putting us on the track that leads to what is recognized as religious behavior today. We begin with the basic idea of burial. Human beings practiced burial from a very early stage. It seems that even Neanderthals practiced burial, and Neanderthals, although the current thinking is somewhat divided on their exact relation to Homo sapiens, tends to be considered a different species, or at least a radically different subspecies from human beings, modern human beings. And we know that Neanderthals buried their dead. There is even an instance of a Neanderthal burial being found with some grave goods. Nothing too flashy, of course, just something like some flowers or perhaps some other forms of decoration being put in the grave. But when you bury a person with artifacts of any sort, it seems to indicate an awareness of some need or necessity beyond the current life, maybe a very, very preliminary form of afterlife in the minds of the ancient people that we're talking about. Homo sapiens also practiced burials with grave goods, appearing about 35,000 before present. A number of different things are found in graves from that period. We have tools, which very obviously show a utility for the afterlife, something that you will need. Manuports, that is, objects that are taken out of their natural environment and placed in a grave. Decorations of various sorts, beads or other forms of human decoration, basic artworks, shells, even ochre, which is a kind of a red mineral that is used to stain skin in parts of the ancient world, but seems maybe to have some representation of blood when put into a grave. All of these things have been found in burials in the prehistoric period for human beings. Now, in this era, when people were simply trying to survive, day-to-day life was just an attempt to survive another day. This was hunter-gatherer society. We don't even have settled human existence yet, where we have cities or any kinds of communal life that have any kind of permanency. These kinds of items that are left behind are valuable, and to place valuable items in a grave indicates the seriousness with which death was considered in the ancient world. So when we look at death and its serious consideration, this is clearly a religious concern. Every religion in the world today is concerned with the ideas of death and what happens either after or in your life leading up to death, or the transformation that takes place with human beings at their deaths. Another early bit of evidence that appears around about the same time received a boost just this year, 2009, from the discovery of the Hohenfels figurine in Germany. This is an artifact that is in the form of a female figurine. Now, female figurines have been known from other Mesolithic sites before. Now, perhaps the most famous is the Willendorf Venus, which dates to maybe 5 to 10,000 years later than that, somewhere between 30 to 25,000 before present. These figurines, to our eye today, look somewhat grotesque in the sense that they don't really bear an exact resemblance to a human being, but we can say a number of things about them. One is that they are definitely female. There's no question of that. Most of them have prominent breasts and even sort of indicate, perhaps, that the representation is pregnant, the woman is pregnant in the figurine. Now, these are among the earliest known human artifacts that are artistically designed and intentionally made for no practical purpose, as far as we can see. Now, I say practical in the sense that modern people would think of something as being practical. What a Paleolithic person would have thought of as being practical, we simply don't know. But it seems likely that these are not simply ancient pornography. That doesn't seem to make any sense in the context of the Paleolithic era. What they may represent is the female role in reproduction. That is to say, Even though the mechanisms of sexual reproduction were not understood clearly by ancient people, we know this because it wasn't until fairly modern times that the actual mechanics of how conception and fertilization of eggs and the birth of human beings or other sexually reproducing animals took place. They didn't understand this, the way the basic concept of how this works scientifically, but they did understand that it was females who gave birth. And they also recognized that for the species or for the family, the clan, put it on a more human level there, for the family or clan to survive, they needed to reproduce. And these figurines, no matter what their original function was, seemed to have some connection with the mysteries of reproduction. In other words, we would simply classify them as artifacts that are concerned with sex today. In the ancient world, that's probably not their role. But if we're looking for a modern analog, that's how we might say it. And again, if we were to compare that with where religion has developed, there are no examples really in the religious world today, at least not in mainstream religions, that show no concern with sexuality. Either it is advocated, far more likely it is prohibited in various forms, but sexuality is closely and deeply concerned with religious sensibilities in the world today. Just stop to think about all the political issues that we consider to be hot-button issues that are related to sexuality. Cases of adultery leading to dismissal from public office or various other things that happen quite frequently in our society. We are aware that sexuality and religion are very closely associated in people's minds, and even though we can't call this sexuality in the modern sense, it does seem to show that there are connections being made with what we would think of as religion today, even in the Paleolithic period. One last example of artifact that comes from this early stage of human development that may show, again, a sensibility towards what we later would call religion is cave art, the cave paintings that are so famous. Probably the most widely known cave art comes from Lascaux in France, and that is a fairly late example of this phenomenon, dating maybe 15 to 10,000 years before present. Cave art in its earliest form begins, as far as we can tell, about 32,000 years before present. Now, that's a gap of about 3,000 years since the female figurines and burial with grave goods starts to take place. But it still is in the same general region of time as we consider the long, long prehistory of human beings. What does cave art have to do with religion? Well, if you stop to think about what they were trying to do, why would someone who is concerned with survival, or a group of people who are concerned with survival, take the time to make drawings, intricate drawings, of animals on their cave walls? It doesn't seem to serve a practical function. Yes, they're nice to look at, but do we have the luxury of art for art's sake at this early stage? It doesn't seem likely. It would seem to have some sort of mystical or religious connection for these people. It has been widely postulated that those responsible for the drawings were shamans, those who were practicing religious functionaries in the ancient world. Now, if that is the case, what do these representations do for the ancients? It seems likely that cave art was intended to somehow control the spirits of the animals that were necessary for human success. This is long before the domestication of animals, and so what we're looking at is a period of time when all animals are wild animals, and human beings need to have animals to survive. In these hunter-gatherer societies, they tend to follow populations of animals until they more or less exhaust the food supply in one area before they have to move on. And so the ability to control in some way your food supply and to make the animal willing to be killed or to bring the animal close to you so that you are able to eat does involve the basic elements of prayer or of worship, if you will. That is the attempt to appease the divine. Now, we don't know if they had concepts that we would equate with gods at this period in human development. Using the word divine is a bit chancy, actually, in this kind of context. But what we do have is a recognition that there are forces beyond human control, and that even in the Paleolithic period, people are concerned to try to bring these elements of nature that that they rely on into their control, and in doing so, have started to experiment with what will later develop into religion. So as we sum up the material that we have seen here from the ancient world, we find that burials with grave goods, female figurines, and cave art correspond roughly to concerns with death, sex, and worship. And these three aspects are very common in today's religious world. In Western religions, you can't find any particular example of a religion that isn't concerned with death and its aftermath, human sexuality, or with worship. Those are essential religious components. And if we're reading the evidence correctly, this would seem to suggest that no matter what the ultimate origin of religion was, that even before people became civilized in any sense of the word, even to the point of being in the Mesolithic period when artifacts become more refined, they've already started to show the sensitivity to realize that there is something greater than themselves out there, and the need to try to placate that greater power in what we'd later call religion.